So let's just bow our heads to pray. Father God, thank you so much for your word to us. And we pray that as we look at it together and think about it, so your Holy Spirit will teach us and enable us to know him better. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, as you know, this is an all-age service. And so I need some sort of participation. It's going to come in different ways. There are going to be some rewards with sweeties. But the main participation I want you to begin with is every time I say the word Jew or Jewish, I want you to say, hooray! And every time I say the word Gentile, I want you to say, ugh. Okay? Ugh. Just look. But ugh is easier than look. So let's have a little practice. Jewish.
Hooray!
Gentile. Okay. Very helpful. So now I've got some questions, and my first question is a Mars bar question. Thank you very much, Nicole, that would be great. What race was Jesus? Smarty pants can guess. Well done, smarty pants. That there was an intervening stage before we got to hooray. What race was Jesus?
Jewish.
Very good. Thank you very much. So he was Jewish. How did the Jews think of themselves? What did they think of themselves? They were chosen. Yeah, who said chosen?
Penny,
there we go, Penny. What sort of things did Jews do, very good, which marked them out as being different from Gentiles? Okay, so question again. What things did the people who say hooray do, which marked them out as being different from the people who say ugh? Okay, what did they do? What sort of things? You've got a hand over here. Yep.
They were circumcised.
They were circumcised, absolutely. One of the badges of Jewishness is that they were circumcised. Penny's already had her chockey. So other people, what? No, I want, because I know that you know the answer, but I want to draw it out of people. Sorry? They worshipped God, yes. How did they, what other things particularly did the people who say hooray do? They had their boy babies circumcised on the eighth day. What else did they do? If you knew Jews,
follow the
hooray.
Law.
Hooray. Follow the law, in particular, what you've already had your chockey, in particular, what part of the law would they follow?
Preaching,
yes, a bit. Though they weren't really concerned with evangelism, because you couldn't be a Jew unless your mum was a Jew. That was good, yeah, some hoorays coming in.
The Torah,
yes. And what in particular in the Torah were they told to do that marked them out as being different from their neighbours? Quickly, Francis. What? Okay, so food laws would be one thing. Keeping a kosher home, certainly. Did they have any sort of, the fact that they were God's people, they were God's chosen people, did that influence how they ordered their week? Sabbath, well done, yes. Okay, so the three things that are particular badges of Jewishness, circumcision, Sabbath keeping, so you do not work on the Sabbath day, even if your crop is ready to harvest and it's a lovely sunny day, you don't work, and you keep a kosher home. What was the relationship generally between the Jews and the Gentiles? What was their relationship?
No mixing.
That did they mean they had absolutely no contact at all? Okay, so they had a commercial relationship where, of course, you know, if you could sell stuff to people who were Gentiles, you're going to sleep. If you could sell things to people who were Gentiles, then you did that. But you would never have invited them into your home. You would never have had a meal with them, that sort of thing. So, Jesus was a Jew. The apostles were Jews. Jews were chosen people. Messiah had come to the Jews. And that there was very little interaction, especially friendship, between Jews and Gentiles. Okay. How many in church today are Jewish? Hooray, but answer the question as well. I know that you know where I'm going. Okay. No, because you've probably eaten it by now. Okay, so how come? How many of us are Jewish? Anybody got any Jewish ancestry that you know of? Okay, so, Francis, you've got Jewish ancestors?
Well, the Bible says that.
No, not the Bible says. I'm not interested at this point. I'm not interested in what the Bible says. I'm asking, are you Jewish?
By adoption.
I'm not interested in by adoption. I'm interested in by blood. Sorry? You could be. Well, yeah, possibly, yes. I mean, you know, ancestry.com and all that. You could go back. Penny, you've got Jewish ancestors? Okay. Okay. But basically, there are very few of us who by blood have got Jewish ancestry. So the big question is, what are we doing here? Because if we've established that Jesus was part of the chosen people and he'd come only for them, then what are we doing? Well, it is that God has intervened. And the story that we've read today, that Russell read for us, God intervened and changed everything. And it began, this story. Anybody know the name of the Roman soldier who's related to this? Get Acts chapter 10 open. 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 Cornelius was the name of the soldier. And the first thing that happens in this story is that an angel from God comes to Cornelius, and he tells him to send for this guy called Peter. And then what happens to Peter? Anybody remember the story? Peter has a vision. Absolutely brilliant. Yes, Peter has a vision. And in the vision, he's quite hungry, and it's lunchtime, and he sort of falls asleep, and he has this vision, and he sees an enormous sort of sheet filled with animals that Jews are not allowed to eat. So there would have been pigs there and all sorts of other things, shellfish and things, that Jews are not allowed to eat. And the word that he heard was, Peter, rise, kill and eat. And he went, no, because I'm a good Jew. And I've never eaten anything that wasn't kosher, wasn't part of the food laws. I can't possibly do it. And so the vision disappeared and it came again. And the same word came, right, Peter, kill and eat. And then it went away, and a third time it came. And the word said, never call anything unclean which the Lord has made clean. Never call anything unclean which the Lord has made clean. And almost immediately after that, the people from Cornelius' house came, and Peter went, asking for Peter to go with them. Off he went to Cornelius' house, and Peter came and settled in the house and began to talk to them. And our reading picks up when Peter begins to speak about Jesus. And Peter tells of what God has done in Jesus, destroyed the works of the devil, gone around doing good, healing, preaching, rising from the dead, tells what he's going to do. He's the one who's been appointed to be judge. Everyone who believes in him can receive forgiveness of sins, all of the heart of the gospel. And what happened as Peter was speaking? What happened from our reading this morning? What happened as Peter was speaking? The Holy Spirit, what happened? The Holy Spirit fell in a way that was obvious and manifest. We don't know exactly what difference he made in the lives of the people, but we're told that they were speaking in tongues. We're told that it was evident that God was saying, these people are no longer unclean, but they're part of the ones that I am including. And it is exactly that, that it's because of that we have been adopted, we have been engrafted into the people of God, so that we can gather, even though we haven't got Jewish backgrounds, we're not Jewish by blood, because God has said, Jesus has come for everyone, no matter what their background. So just to conclude on that, what we're saying is that it's really important that people should know that they have become Christians. Because everybody, if we could turn back to the Acts 10 reading and look again at Acts 10 and verse 43. All the prophets testify about him, that is Jesus, that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name. And it's really important that we know that we believe. And that's not just a belief in the sense of, oh, I know an academic truth. The devil knows perfectly well who Jesus is. But he is not surrendering to Jesus. He is not saying, Jesus, be my king. He's not saying, Holy Spirit, come in to the very spirit that is at the heart of me and change me from the inside out. Is everybody within sight of one of these prayers? Now, many, many people in church will be able to say, I know exactly when it was that I prayed that prayer of commitment to Christ. That was, and that's the moment when the Holy Spirit came into me and he's been transforming my life and changing me so that I'm growing to become the person that Jesus wants me to be. But I sometimes find that there are people who are unclear about this. They've never actually said a prayer like that. So I'm going to encourage us all to read the prayer together. For some, yes, I know, it will be, this is saying again a prayer that I've already said years ago. But what you're doing is that you're in solidarity with people who are saying, I've never really understood that I needed to make a prayer like this. And therefore, what you're doing is standing with them so that no one is embarrassed. You know, if we just say, well, if you haven't done it before, stand up and do it. That's too embarrassing. We want everybody to have the opportunity. Now, if you are saying, this is the first time I've said a prayer like this, do come and have a word with me or with May afterwards. But it is this idea of saying this prayer together, because what we're doing is getting clear that we are people who are believers and understand. So let's read this prayer together. Heavenly Father, I have rebelled against you. I have sinned in my thoughts, words, and actions, sometimes unconsciously, sometimes deliberately. I'm sorry for the way that I have lived, and I ask you to forgive me. Thank you that Jesus died on the cross so that I could be forgiven. Thank you that I can now see clearly who Jesus is and why he came. Lord Jesus, please come into my life as my Savior and cleanse me. Come in as my Lord and take control of me. Please fill me with your Holy Spirit to strengthen me, to follow you, whatever the cost. Amen. And I'm just going to say a prayer that you may want to echo in your heart about just that sometimes we can sort of dismiss the Holy Spirit. We can say, no, you know, he's too confusing and scary and stuff. And actually what we've seen is that it is absolutely essential, because God is Trinity. He is one God, three persons. So we need to come in and say that to repent. So let's just bow our heads to pray. Father God, I'm sorry where I have doubted the reality of the Holy Spirit, where I have refused his work in my life and thereby grieved him and grieved you. Please forgive me. Father, I'm sorry where I have failed to ask him to rule in every part of my life. I'm asking now, Lord Jesus, that you would help me by your Holy Spirit to live a life that is truly submitted to you, truly surrendered to you, and a life that you can then use to bring glory to you. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.